We don't do shout outs in the church. But if we did, we would look into that camera right there and shout out Brother Dean and Patrick Lake, who have been sent on another assignment, who are now living, and Brother Dean is working in California. And I had a chance to talk and pray with him before he left. In a short period of time, Brother Dean has made an impact on the life of this church. So if you would join me and just shout out, I love you, Dean. I love you, Patrick. God bless you, brothers. And I said we don't do shout outs in the church. But if we did, we would shout all the way down to Suburban Hospital, where the brother that sings on this choir, Brother Sean Smith, and his beautiful wife, Keisha, are now watching us, streaming us live. Some of you may not know, Brother Sean had heart surgery. And I'll leave it up to them to explain how all that took place. The surgery was on Friday, Thursday. On Friday, I went to visit Brother Sean. And the brother laid back in the bed, looking good. Came and said, Pastor King, how you doing? I was expecting to hear this strong voice. And one of the attendants was in the room. And I said to her, you have two of our soul singers in this room. One you just operated on. I demand that they get the best care possible, or you're going to have trouble on your hands. Can we say to Brother Sean and Sister Keisha, we love you, Brother Sean.
We love you, Brother Sean.
We love you, Sister Keisha.
We love you, Sister Keisha.
Keep getting well, Brother Sean.
Keep getting well, Brother Sean.
Now, I did say we don't do shout outs in the church. But if we did, we would go down on 147 and celebrate the return home of Sister Justina Stewart. Some of you know Sister Stewart, and others of us don't know her, and some of us may have kind of forgotten. But I went into the home, and this 99-year young lady bounces up out of the chair, arms open wide, saying, Pastor King, how are you? Some of y'all missed that. 99. Not 19, but 99. And here's the other kicker. She also had issues of the heart. But you know what allowed her heart to do much better? Going home. The doctors realized that her heart rate was going up. And Sister Stewart kept saying, I want to go home. And when she went home, and along with medicine, God began to stabilize things. Amen. Amen. Now, 1, 2, 3. Three times I said we don't do shout outs in the church. But if we did, we would welcome back after 18 days over in Ghana, West Africa, Reverend Dr. First Lady, the beautiful brown bomber from North Carolina by way of Africa, back in the house. There's a conference that we attend annually, organized a return to Africa commemorating the 400th year of the transatlantic slave trade. And there were conferences and tours and so much else went on. And I would have made the trip, but I thought it was better I take care of my physical self first and took care of those things. But we are glad that she is back safe and sound. She and her sister Loretta came back on Friday, all in one piece, and there were no issues at all. And we are grateful for her. So there's still a lot that we're learning about what took place during that conference. Amen. Repeat these words after me. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Lead a life worthy of the call by which you have been called. I'd like to preach for a few moments, learning to walk all over again. Learning to walk all over again. And it's something about this time that I'm in recovery. Every time I put my glasses on, I can't see. I take them off. I see fine. Maybe that's a spiritual message for me. I think so. Repeat these words after me, please. Possibilities are fertile when you walk in your calling. Learning to walk all over again. Since my knee replacement surgery has been complete, I literally have been learning to walk again. I have had to learn to synchronize my arm swing with speed and stride as I take steps, learning as if I was learning to do it for the first time. My therapist periodically has me to walk across the room and come back. She says, Mr. King, you need to loosen up top and let your arm swing. I said, well, you might be trying to teach me something that I've never done, because in college, my partner said I walk like Fred Sanford. So I might not be able to do that so well. But there is a need to learn to negotiate the arm swing and my walk speed and my stride as if I'm learning to do it again for the first time. I now have to intentionally think in order to compel my brain to coordinate with my knees in order to lift my lower leg up so that my foot doesn't hit the steps as I'm going up. You see, there were superficial nerves that were severed during the surgery, so they're regenerating, and my doctor says it's going to take months. So that means that I may be dragging a foot, or I may have to look down at the foot and say, okay, leg, lift up, to get it to do what it's supposed to do. Family, it's amazing. I've been operating this motor skill of walking for more than 6 decades. But now I must be conscious of each step that I take as if I'm learning to walk again. Must be sitting outside. But last Sunday, Brother Greg Floyd said to me, Reverend, are you pimping or are you limping? I said, I'm doing both. But the reality, family, is that my walk will never be the same again because of what took place on May 31st, 2019. My life and my legs and my walking are changed forever. Therefore, I'm learning to walk all over again. And family, as I thought about the physical business of walking, my consecrated imagination, as it usually does, caused me to think about the spiritual business of walking as a believer in Jesus Christ. And family, I thought about what it means to walk as a child of God who has received grace of salvation and begins to shift from a secular relationship with the world to a spiritual relationship with the Almighty. Family, it needs to be understood that when we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, we begin the journey of learning to walk all over again. Why would you say that, Pastor King? Well, some believers overlook the fact that a relationship with Jesus is to inspire change in us. Did you hear what I said? Some of us think that we can be believers and behave the way that we've always done. Did y'all hear what I said? Apostle Paul describes his life change, his new walk with the Lord, this way. When I was a child, spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The way we say it, used to say around the way, the places I used to go, I don't go anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say anymore. The way I used to behave, I don't behave anymore. At least I'm trying. I'm trying to learn a new walk. A new walk family suggests that there is a shift in the elevation of our actions and our attitude. Did you hear what I just said? Being in a relationship with Jesus Christ causes us to walk by faith and not by sight. Y'all know the story of Jacob when he wrestled with God all night long, and Jacob was touched in his hip by God, causing a symbolic understanding of Jacob's new walk. The wise men, the magi, after revelation of the baby Jesus, and they went to see him in the manger after seeing Jesus and realizing what the alignment of the stars were representing. The scripture says that the magi went home a different way in an understanding of the Almighty. Blind Bartimaeus, y'all remember him, don't you? Blind born from birth, and after Jesus touched his eyes, Bartimaeus began a life assessment saying, I once was blind, but now I see. And then there was the woman with the 12-year blood issue. After touching the bottom of Jesus' cloak, the woman's faith in Jesus allowed her to live life in its fullness and in wholeness. Jacob, the magi, the blind Bartimaeus, and the woman revealed to us, family, that being in a relationship with the Lord will cause you to learn to walk all over again. Question here. How has your life changed since you've been in a relationship with Jesus? I'll wait. I'll give y'all some contemplation time. I've had mine. A sad truth is that some view being Christian as an exclusive club of peak personality people, instead of an opportunity for change, life-changing possibilities. You see, the text tells us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. That's the King James translation. The NIV says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Check this, family. A calling is an invitation from God to be in relationship with God. Anybody here ever receive an invitation? And you do one of two things. You accept it or you send your regrets. At some point in life, family, somebody made us and forced us to come to church, but Jesus invites us. Jesus invites us. Jesus doesn't make us come to him. Jesus does not force us to be in relationship. Jesus offers the invitation, and get this, we get to decide yes or no. Check this. We get to choose to be certain kinds of human beings. That's why those who choose love and service have a calling and not a career. What pastors are doing all over the world, this is not my job. This is my calling. Singing in a choir is not a job. It's a calling. Being a worshiper is not something you do on Sunday. It's your calling. Those who are called to service see it as a joy and not a drudgery. Watch your ministry partner when they serve and, dang, I got to come up here again on Saturday. I'm going to miss joy or drudgery. The called of God will serve not because they want to, not because they have to, but because they want to. They desire to. And being in a relationship with God will invoke a consciousness rising. Got that from a wife. A consciousness rising that inspires us to live a certain kind of life that will not discredit God. Y'all won't hear this morning. Therefore, our focus causes us to think as Jesus thinks and to model the ways of Jesus. Am I making any sense? Walking with God causes us to face ourselves and to see our weaknesses and to see a need for moral and ethical renewal. Talking about our walk. Talking about our calling. To walk in your calling, family, is to finish what Jesus started. I feel I need to remix that. To walk in your calling is to finish what Jesus started. See, Jesus took care of death, sin, hell, and the grave. But Jesus told the disciples, greater things will you do when I leave from here. So the work is not finished. Jesus just started it. It's up to us to finish it. What are we to finish? Luke 4:18 says we are to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom to the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That's our calling. That's what we are to finish. Your calling, family, is God's ordained purpose for your life. We are not here to be consumers, but contributors to God's work. I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. Family, our calling is not a lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle and not a luxury. Check this out. Jesus already knows what you're called to be or to do. It's not like we figure it out and then God says, oh, that's good. No. God already knows what we're called to be. And guess what? It doesn't matter if you're young or old. God knows your calling. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. God knows your calling. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. God knows your calling. And even if you think your life is a mess, guess what? God's got a call movement for your life and purpose to fulfill. No one is left out or looked over from the call. It's a shout moment right there. God says to us through the prophet Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Paul follows up saying to walk worthy of the call. To walk worthy of God's calling is to accept the commitment to represent the cause that Jesus represents through the cross. Just as it was for Jesus, your calling and my calling, your life and my life is meant to be shared. God empowers our calling as holy partners. We are holy partners. Hebrews 3:11 says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, we share in the heavenly calling. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and our high priest. There are no lone rangers in the call of God's business. And check this. When my mother did this, boy, she was making a point. And I knew to back up 17 steps. Never confuse the cross as lesser to anything. Did you hear what I said? Never confuse the cross as being less than anything. Never rank the cross as lesser than anything or anybody. Y'all don't hear me. Never rank the cross under your relationships or your resume. Never rank the cross under your paycheck and your portfolio. Never rank the cross under any flag. Never rank the cross under any flag. Every flag is subordinate to the cross. Never rank politics above the cross. Never, ever, ever, ever rank your patriotic views of the Star-Spangled Banner as equal or above the Bloodstained Banner. I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. For a person to proclaim to be superior based on skin complexion or country or culture is to put the cross under the flag. To celebrate the size of a hallway crowd over showing compassion for people recovering and killed in senseless shootings is to put the cross under the flag. To degrade brown lives and to defame black bodies is to put the cross under the flag. Y'all don't want to hear this. I'm talking about walking worthy of your calling. To infuriate gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgender people is to put the cross under the flag. I agree with my Alpha brother, Dr. Cornel Wells, who said, never confuse the criticism of injustice as being anti-American. Any resistance to injustice is a God-driven activity because righteous indignation against cruel treatment of any group of people is an echo of the voice of God for those of us who take the cross seriously. As Christians, we are never able to repay the price that Jesus paid on the cross. Am I right? All that love on the cross, all that blood gushing out at the foot of the cross. To walk worthy causes us to ask ourselves, how deep is our love for other people? I didn't say how deep is our love for our family. How deep is your love for the people? To walk in your calling causes you to ask yourself, what are you willing to sacrifice for? Your calling will challenge you to ask, what kind of courage have I demonstrated in the stance that I've taken? Family, with all the negativity in the atmosphere of America today, see now an opportunity for the Christian church to flourish. Y'all not with me? With all the hype, all the hate, all the negativity going on, this is a time for the Christian church to take its place as what we believe by way of our calling through the cross of Jesus. See, now is the time for the Christian church to regain the confidence of the people who are looking for a place of peace. See, now the time of the church to be a place of a place and people of hope for people who are broken. See, now as the time for the church as dispensing the power of love and the agent of reconciliation. Now is our time to walk worthy of our calling by the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm done. Those who have received emails from me in maybe the last month and a half, most often, I end that email by saying, keep shining. The world needs your light. Keep shining. Keep shining. Keep shining. The world needs your light. Keep shining. The world needs your light. Walk worthy of the call by which you have been called. In our lowliness, meekness, and humility, in the bond of unity, of Jesus Christ. May the works I've done speak for me. Come on, if you know, help me. May the works I've done speak for me. When I'm resting in my grave, when I'm resting in my grave, there is nothing to be said. May the works I've done speak for me. May the life I live, let us stand all over the church. May the life I live speak for me. May the life I live speak for me. When I've done the best I can and my friends don't understand, may the life I live speak for me. The doors of the church are open. If you feel God calling you to relationship, come on down and we'll celebrate what God is doing. If you feel God calling you to connect as a member of this church, come on down and we'll celebrate for you, with you. But understand that now is the time and this is the place. Jesus Christ is the answer. Is there one? Is there one who feels called today to connect with Jesus Christ? Is there one today who feels desiring to connect with this body of believers known as Goshen Church? May the works I've done speak for me. Praise the Lord. May the service I give, may the service I give.